Welcome to the James Mellon Podcast. I am Dr. James Mellon, and I am here to help you live your greatest life ever by living life to the fullest. What you're about to hear is one of my Sunday talks from our Celebrations of Love. I hope you enjoy it.
So the song begins with, you're broken down and tired of living on the merry-go-round. And you can't find the fighter, but I see it in you. So we're going to walk it out. So what we've just had this week is called Easter Week. And Easter Week honors the acts of Jesus in the days before his crucifixion, death, and resurrection. So last Sunday was Palm Sunday. Not that we said anything about it or noticed it or marked it at all. But last Sunday was Palm Sunday, which was Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem. And he entered Jerusalem at the height of his career. He entered Jerusalem with everyone just bowing down to him and loving him and showing him all this love. And it's interesting what Tiffany and I were talking about, because one of the stories, of course, is the person that just made their way through the crowd and just wanted to touch the hem of his garment and was healed just by touching it. But Jesus was very clear. He was like, your belief is what heals you. And that's all he said. He wasn't like, I'm God, I am the healer, I heal you, and touching hands on someone. No, he's just like, it's in you. You're the one. You are the one. And I'm here today to say to you, you are the one. You don't need to find something else to make your life better. It's all right there within you. And then on Holy Thursday, these past few days ago, it's the Last Supper. But what was really the thing about Holy Thursday was the betrayal. It was the way the tide started to turn that Jesus had. They just had their Seder dinner. That's all they were doing. So we call it the Last Supper because it was their last Seder, Last Supper. And he basically had the premonition. He knew what was going on. He knew what was going on in the world. We know what's going on in our world. We can see what's possibly coming. We can see what's brewing. We can see the consciousness of people. But Jesus was very clear, saying, that is not what's real. This is what's real, what's inside of me, what's inside of you. So Judas, do what you need to do. And then the next day, Good Friday, was the crucifixion and death, what we celebrate. That entire journey, when we were just on retreat, there were the 14 stations of the cross. And I said to the priest in charge, I said, my Catholic upbringing tells me there's only 12 stations of the cross. And he was funny. He was like, yeah, they added more as we went along. I was like, well, what did they add? I said, the 12 stations of the cross I always found odd because, of course, the whole premise of Catholicism is the resurrection. Without the resurrection, there is no Catholicism. There's no Christianity. So he said, yeah, that's the 14th now, the 14th one. I said, so what's the 13th? And this is a Catholic priest, and he went, I have no idea. He said, I'll have to go walk them again and see which one that is. So that's Good Friday. And it is funny what Tiffany said about Good Friday, but I'll get there. Then Holy Saturday. Holy Saturday is the burial of Jesus, when they move the rock aside, find out he's not in there. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Holy Saturday, of course, he hadn't died yet. I mean, he hadn't risen yet. Saturday is when they take the body down from the cross and put it in the cave and cover it. And then today, Easter Sunday, which is the resurrection, where Mary, I believe, moved the rock and found out he wasn't in there. Now, your logical mind, my logical mind, could make many senses out of this, many blasphemous senses out of this in terms of being a Christian or being Catholic. We could say that the followers took him out of there so that they could prove the prophecy, that he really was the Messiah, or that he didn't die, and he, this is a big one, he moved to India, where he lived happily ever after and had many children with Mary. That's a good story. That's a nice one too. I'd love to believe that one, wouldn't you? I'd love to believe he did not pass and that his wounds healed. And he thought, and he said to himself, they're not going to get this, and I'm not doing that again. So let's go to India. They seem more spiritual at the moment. So there are many stories that you could make out of this, and the logical mind has a hard time. But I didn't have a logical mind as a child, did you? I didn't have a logical mind growing up Catholic. I believed all of it. I believed the Blessed Mother had a baby without ever having intercourse. I believed that when Jesus died, he rose from the dead, and that his body never, ever eroded his body. And then when the Blessed Mother died, she was taken right up to heaven, full-bodied. She never had to die or lose her body. But you'd have to ask yourself now, do you want to be the only body in heaven? Walking around and everything else is spiritual, and you've still got this body? I was like, some of these stories are like, wow, okay. You need to rewrite that one. So I'm teaching a class called Advanced Consciousness, and the book we're reading right now is called For Small Creatures Such as We by Sasha Sagan, Carl Sagan's daughter. And the book is about rituals. And Sasha Sagan says this about rituals. She says, rituals are a way of connecting you to what is meaningful and deep and beautiful within you. Rituals are a way of connecting you to what is meaningful and deep and beautiful to you. Rituals are nothing more than behavior. What we use to tap into what has been, walking a labyrinth is a ritual, which we all did that went on the retreat last weekend. Whether you know it or not, you waking up on a Sunday morning and coming here, that's a ritual. Me getting up on a Sunday morning coming here, that's a ritual. Doing our vision statement, that's a ritual. So we do, people say, God, we don't have rituals. And I'm like, yeah, we do have rituals. Our baby naming ceremonies, which we will see one very soon. You know, we name the child to the universe. We give life to the name, bring life into the name. I use oils, and I put oil on the forehead so that everything that child thinks will be of spiritual nature. I put oil on the lips so that everything spoken from this child is spoken from love. And then I put a little oil right on the chest so that the heart is always grounded in knowing who it is. That's a ritual, and it's a beautiful ritual. Every wedding we do is a ritual. Every time we do a celebration of life, it's a ritual. So we are a culture of rituals. That's what we are. So when we say we don't celebrate Easter, we may not agree with the way Easter is laid out, but we do celebrate this time, the energy. Christmas, we all celebrate Christmas. Even though Jesus was apparently born in July, we celebrate Christmas in December. We have our Christmas bazaar. We have all of these things. Of course, it's also the solstice. As I said earlier, a lot of these pagan holidays, we just figured, let's do Christmas during solstice because we're already geared up to have that ritual energy, right? So that's really what we do in terms of ritual. We are all about the energy. We're about the sacredness. So the behavior we do in ritual is sacred. And sacred means this, connected with God. Connected with God. Whether you like the word or not, but you mean connected with that thing in us that is bigger than our own individual selves. Something bigger. Something that I am that I sometimes don't remember. Right? So that's what sacred means, to be connected to that thing inside. And it says, in summary, sacred encompasses holiness, reverence, and exclusivity. It invites us to recognize the profound and divine aspects of life and experience. To recognize the divine aspects of life. So on this day, I think it's a great day for us to ask ourselves, how much of what the divine shows up as are we aware of? I wouldn't have noticed that rainbow had Kevin not called me. There are many things I may not notice in life if I'm not awake. Do you ever find yourself so in your mind that you've missed the last 10 things? How many of you have ever been driving? I know we all have, where we're driving, and then but we're thinking stuff, and then we're like, I don't remember how I got to this exit. That's scary, isn't it? It's like, wow, I've been so busy in my mind, I have missed the sacred. I've missed the 405 somehow, completely. Forgot to turn. Kevin, last night, what were we talking about? We were talking about something. I was like making a point, believe it or not, again, about something. And Kevin's like, you know the exit's the next exit. I was like, and of course I lied. I was like, of course, I know. Of course, I'm all the way over here.
Five lanes over.
And the exit's right there. And I'm like, and Kevin's like, you did not know that we were at the exit. I said, yes, he said, you did not know where you were going. I said, I knew exactly where I was going. I thought I was going to Westlake somehow, but we were going home. So we do that. We get so caught up in our minds, we miss, I love this, the divine aspects of life and existence. Some of you live places that are so gorgeous, and I wonder if you see it every day when you wake up. We just had our trees trimmed. 6 pine trees, a giant 300-year-old oak, and 2 other trees. For 3 days, they were chopping down those trees. And I was out there. We were cleaning up as we went, although they did a brilliant job. When it was over, I got reacquainted with my garden. And I really felt like the plants were saying, where you been? Where you been? Like some of them were like so overgrown. And I was like, wow, I have not paid attention to... People come to my house, many of you come to my house, they're like, oh, your backyard, it's like sacred. And it is. But I got a lot of other things to think about. That's the problem. So I have a story for you. So Easter is considered a sacred holiday, certainly in the Christian religion. So when I was a little boy, believe it or not, I went to Mass every morning. I went to Mass every morning. I had my missal, which is a prayer book, under my arm. I always dressed like a little, I looked like a child priest. And I'd walk down the street, good morning, making sure everybody knew I was going to church. My parents found this extraordinarily excessive. My dad would say things like, don't you just want to get up and like go play ball or something? I was like, no, I'm going to Jesus. And I would go to church mass every single morning. My brother was humiliated, my older brother, because he said, you know, everybody laughs at you. I was like, I know. I don't care. Jesus doesn't laugh at me. And I had the most profound, beautiful relationship with Jesus. So Good Friday, which, as Tiffany said, is the day Jesus was crucified and died. So that seems like a very odd name for that Friday, Good Friday. It's good that he died. My most memorable Good Friday happened in 7th grade. St. Bernard's Catholic School. I was in 7th grade. And as it turned out on that Good Friday, report cards came out. And they give them to you in the morning so you can be tortured all day until you leave. So I got my report card in the morning. I opened it and looked at it, horrified. And then they announced over the speaker the 10 top report cards, because they want to really humiliate you even more. The 10 top report cards of this cycle, and my older brother was one of them, which was shocking to me, because I did not think he was really smart at all. but now I do, Tommy. I realize how smart you are. So he gets named as one of the 10, and I'm looking at my report card. This is Good Friday, with 3 red Fs. Geography, history, and science. 3 red Fs. And I'm just sitting there with this report card. And what do they make you do at the end of Good Friday? They cut the last hour of school off, so you go into the church to do the Stations of the Cross. And you go through Jesus' entire scourging at the pillar, all the way through the crucifixion, the whole thing. That day I felt that Jesus and I had a lot in common. Because I was raised by a police officer, and I knew what was going to happen when I got home. I was like walking through those stations going, you got nothing on me. You just see what happens when I get home. That crucifixion's going to look like a play date. So I sat on those 3 red Fs and got home as late as I could, because I figured, let's give them a chance to celebrate their oldest son, the heir to their future. and when I got home, my parents just looked at me. They just looked at me. Because, of course, my brother, being the sweet, compassionate, caring, protective brother that he was, I think even before he told them that he was one of the top 10, he told them I had three Fs. So they already knew. I walked in the door, and they're just like, give me your report card. And so I handed them the report card. I remember my father. I don't remember. Here's what's funny. I don't remember a lot about what they did, what they did to, like, you know, punish me. I don't remember it at all. All I remember is the Stations of the Cross and that report card. I remember the anticipation of what they were going to do. But I honestly can't stand here and tell you today what they actually did to these three Fs. But what I can tell you is that my father did say, I remember him saying to me, how is it possible that someone can flunk geography, history, and science in one term? And then just stare at me. As if there's an answer to that. Like, what's the answer? Creative. Well, clearly it was possible. So the title of my talk today, you'll notice I'm doing this no slides today, is The Garden of Gethsemane. So we forget that Jesus tried to get out of this by praying to God to take it away. You know that? That's what the Garden of Gethsemane was like. All the apostles were drunk and passed out, and Jesus was awake begging God to take this away. Don't let this happen. I don't want to go through this. Because he knew. He knew what was happening. And I know this because I played Jesus in Jesus Christ Superstar. So I'm very clear of how all this worked, how it happened, and what Jesus was feeling. And I will tell you that singing the song Gethsemane by Andrew Lloyd Webber is the greatest moment any actor can have on stage, I believe. And I've done many musicals and many plays. But getting to stand on that stage, everybody else is asleep, and start that song, which is so soft, you know, where he's just like, I only want to say, if there is a way, take this cup away from me, and then go on. But by the end, his vocal cords are on the ground, you know, because he's screaming, you know, I don't want it, I don't want it, I don't want it. Playing Jesus the first time changed my life. It changed my life. I went home from, I was doing it in Oklahoma. I went home and instantly went to Unity Church. I was like, I got to find a church that works for me because the Catholic Church is not doing it. And so I found Unity. I found Eric Butterworth, changed my life, my understanding of who Jesus was on that stage. And then from Unity to David Walker out in Los Angeles, and the rest is history, obviously. So 20-something years later, 25 years later, I see this whole thing as being part of this Garden of Gethsemane. Because in Gethsemane, Jesus showed us his hand. He showed us that he was human and divine, but he understood they were the same thing. And he wasn't afraid to be human. And I think we are. We're afraid to be human. I grew up my whole life wanting to be Jesus, wanting to aspire to what Jesus was. It was impossible to aspire. It was impossible to become what they have taught us Jesus was. It's an impossibility. But I can be what Jesus was when I remember that in the Garden of Gethsemane, he showed us, you're going to have a lot of stuff. And this lyric, when the silence isn't quiet and it feels like it's getting hard to breathe, I'll rise up. I'll rise up like the day. I'll rise up unafraid. I'll rise up and I'll do it. And Carol said this so brilliantly, I'll do it 1,000 times a day. That's the only thing we have to do. Remember who you are 1,000 times a day. And now you are Jesus. Now you are God. Now you get it. You're all of it. You're all of your problems, all of your nuances, all of your mistakes, all of your habits, your addictions. You are all of it. And you can rise above it 1,000 times a day by just remembering who you are. So in the end, the resurrection, for me, is about forgiveness. You know, Jesus supposedly at the end of his life, when he was on that cross, He said, supposedly, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." And other than some of the fun stories I can tell you, like when they forgot to tie me to the cross, raised me, and I went plummeting to the ground, and 2,000 people all, this was in Kevin's production, where Kevin played Pontius Pilate. That's why we get along so well. Yeah. And Kevin was a brilliant Pontius Pilate. He really was. After Jesus sings Gethsemane, and they come after him, they knew, don't make this guy sing much more at all. Then Kevin comes in and just starts screaming at him and giving him, how many lashes was that? 39 lashes, you know, and going through that whole thing. But this Garden of Gethsemane, when I was up on that cross and I said, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do." You know what? Oh my God, he was right. But it's about all of us. Forgive ourselves, because we don't know what we're doing. Truer words have not been spoken. We are here doing it. Love only, forgive everything, remember who you are. But forgive yourself for not remembering who you are sometimes. Because sometimes you're going to want to just go throw those money chambers and knock them over. And people are going to be like, "Wow, Jesus is angry." I always loved that scene when I could just let loose. But the moment that really changed my life was when I, right after the money changer thing, and when the cripples come up and they're on top of you, and you know, they're like, "Jesus, heal me, Jesus, heal me." And you've got 30 people from the ensemble crawling up your body, and then the last thing, it's heal yourselves. And they all disappear, and you collapse. And Mary Magdalene comes over and holds you. And they start singing, "Try Not to Get Worried." And then she sings, "I Don't Know How to Love Him." And that one time, I was on stage, laying on the ground, and Mary Magdalene, who at the time was one of the Miss America contestants, sang, she's singing, "I Don't Know How to Love Him," and all of a sudden my eyes, I'm just tearing, and I'm thinking about myself as a little boy, walking to church with my missal, all the things I believed about Jesus, my whole life is shining before me, and I'm like, oh my God, I don't know how to love him. I don't know how to love Jesus, which means I don't know how to love myself. I don't know how to love me. And I was a basket case. Thank God I didn't have too much to do after that. But I was just a basket case, and that changed my life. That, I believe that moment in that show is why I'm standing here today on this stage. Because I had to know. I had to get back to that. So for me, Easter is all about forgiveness. It, for me, today is all about really seeing Jesus as who he was. Real, and this may be a story that you've only heard. Maybe this is not accurate. It's very possible. But if we're just going to use it as a metaphor, if we're just going to use it as a story that we learn over the years about, then let's know it about a man who knew who he was, knew that people weren't ready to hear that, but said it anyway, fought his own journey, and was willing to fight the demons that he was willing to fight. And even when they did the worst, when they did their worst to him, he was willing to say, "Forgive them. They just don't know who they are." So to me, that's what Easter's all about. Getting in touch with something inside of me that says, "James, relax. Give it up. It's okay. You already are perfect. Forgive it. Forgive whatever you think is the imperfection of your life." And the great singing voice of Carol Hatchett, rise up, elevate, rise up above it all. And if you have to do it 1,000 times a day, then do it 1,000 times a day. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the James Mellon Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider subscribing to the show. That way, you'll be sure to receive every new episode. And if you want to reach out and talk to me, you can always find me at my website, jamesmellon.org. Thanks again, and I will see you next time.